So let's do this thing. Proverbs chapter 8. And today I'm going to go forward in the message I told you. You'll probably didn't even remember when we finished up, afraid to be afraid. I told you when God gave me the revelation of WIPP that that's where I was going next. WIPP-A. For those of you who weren't there for that, I don't remember, God gave me a word that I needed to stop speaking over my situations. We need to be speaking every day of our situations, that we have wisdom, insight, peace, and prosperity in abundance. Say it. I have wisdom, insight, peace, and prosperity in abundance. God began to walk me through that. I've been saying it for the past months or so. And I said, I know some of you have too. If you have, let me see your hand. Say, yeah, I've been speaking that over myself. It's the difference as what we said in the last message of I'm believing God for something, or I trust God that he has me covered. But in the book of James, it says, any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God who gives to all liberally, and he upbraideth not, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with nothing wavering. For he who wavers is like the wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. Let that man not believe he will receive anything from the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Why do I have that memorized? Because when I learned that, I was like, okay, now I know why my prayers are not being answered. Now I know why God's not moving in my life. Because I'm asking God to help in desperation. I'm not asking God to help in faith. He said, if you lack wisdom, ask God in faith. So the main part of that verse that hit me was, I had to look up the word. It says, he gives liberally to all and upbraideth not. And I had to look up upbraideth because I didn't know what that was. And what that word means is he doesn't find fault. So that means if you come to God and ask for wisdom in the situation, even if you totally screwed up and it's totally your fault, you're in the situation, he will give you that wisdom without ever pointing out what your shortcomings are. He won't do like your parents do, like you there because you brought it on yourself. And maybe you shouldn't have done that. You laid and made your bed hard, you got to sleep in it. God will never do that. He will say, okay, well, if you're asking for wisdom to be free, I'm going to give you that wisdom and never find your fault. How many of you can say amen to that or be happy about that? That's a good thing to know, that God, you are going to look out for me even if I'm totally responsible for my mess and never point out my faults. I didn't know that about God. I thought God was looking for the opportunity to bust me in the mouth every mistake I made. See, you brought that on yourself. You brought it on yourself. And then God don't like ugly. He don't like ugly, but he loves you. And he loves you more than he don't like ugly. So I began to seek God out about, if I lack wisdom, let me ask. And what it meant to ask for wisdom or direction and insight. Because any situation you're facing, it comes down to a lack of know-how or what to do, lack of insight, lack of wisdom, lack of instruction. So I begin to study that through, and I begin to look it up in the Greek and to see what the words meant. I begin to study to see what God meant, and that's how I found out what upbraid was. And I begin to realize that he was not saying to ask for wisdom the way we ask for wisdom. Oh, Lord, help me out, Lord. I'm in trouble, Lord. Open the doors, Lord. Make a way, Lord. Fix it for me, Lord. If you can just have mercy on me, Lord God. If it be thy will. All of these kind of religious things that we say that are not faith statements, but we're actually throwing up stuff in the air and hoping something sticks. But he says, if you lack wisdom, let him ask God in faith, and he will give it to you. So it goes back to the last message, trust. It always comes back to trust. So when I ask you for insight and wisdom, I should be asking you from the perspective of, I know you want me to have it. Not I got to pry your hands open to get it. Who understands what I'm saying today? I need to come before God with an understanding that God wants me to have the insight and wants to help me out more than I want to be helped out. God wants me to have the truth more than I want to have it. God wants me to be blessed more than I want to be blessed. God wants me to be prosperous and at peace, even as your soul prospers, more than I want it. So I had to get out of the the thought process of that I had to beg God's hand or pry God's hand open to get a blessing, but that he wants me to have it. So if I'm asking for wisdom and instruction, I can't ask you for it like I'm begging a stingy creep to give me something he doesn't want me to have. If I do, I'm like the wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. I'm double-minded. Let not that man believe he will receive anything from the Lord. That statement scared me when I first read it, because this said if I'm double-minded in my asking, I'm not going to receive anything from God. Why is he being so hard about that one point? And it dawned on me as I began to go through the Old Testament and read, God has a problem with lack of trust. We went through the whole afraid to be afraid. I'm not going to re-preach it. You know it. You saw it. You saw how God responded to their fear and lack of trust. He opened the ground. He swallowed them up. He gave them the quail. And as they were eating the quail, they dropped dead. God doesn't like distrust. He also doesn't like double-mindedness. More than the other sins you may think way heavier, God has a problem with lack of trust. And the reason that the other sins and the other issues way heavier is because we lack trust. We don't believe that God can deliver us. And because we don't believe God can deliver us, God is forced to, according to our faith, be it unto us. I think my granddaughter's modeling and posing in the camera. Angela, you want to take charge of your phone? So here's what I'm saying. You have a responsibility, and your responsibility is to trust. Not be perfect, but to trust the God who is perfect. So as I begin seeking God, he said to me, when you come to me in any situation, I want you to speak. Because I said, if you ask, it's yours, that you have wisdom. If you don't say it before the prayer, after the prayer, you should say, thank you, Lord, that I have wisdom. If there's anything that's in your life that's not clear or confusing right now, you should say, God, I pray and I seek you for wisdom. I seek you for guidance and direction. And you should end that prayer with, and I thank you that I have it now. Who does that speak to right now? Wave a hand at me if that speaks to you right where you are. You should end your conversation with God in the affirmative. You should never walk away from your prayer closet in the same dismay that you walked in. If you did, then you went double-minded, you didn't believe, and that's why you left like you left. If I can't walk away with, and I'm not talking about a feeling, I'm talking about a confession, a knowing. After I finish praying, I should walk away from God saying, Lord, I thank you that my petition that I prayed according to your word is so. If you have needs, you should say, Lord, your word says, you supply my needs according to your riches and glory. So even though the account doesn't look any different, and even though everything doesn't feel any different, I'm thanking you. We're talking about trust now. I'm thanking you that you've heard my prayer and my needs are in your hands. They're met. They're covered. It's a process. It's something that you have to do to train yourself, to untrain yourself out the negativity. God gave me a revelation many years ago, and those who are members of the church heard me say this a million times. Learning is easy. Unlearning is difficult. Unlearning is the process of trying to get rid of what you already know. So when God gives you the revelations that you need to win, you immediately try to take them and put them back in what you already are doing and seeing how they fit, instead of throwing out what you have and taking on what's new. Jesus gave the story like this. He said, it's like taking new wine and trying to put it into old wineskins. If you put new wine in old wineskins, new wine into old wineskins, the wine will burst and the wine will spill out on the ground. But if you put new wine in new wineskins, then the wine would be perfect. And I didn't understand that because I didn't understand about what a wineskin was. How many of you don't know what I'm talking about when I'm talking about new and old wineskins? You can wave a hand at me and I'll explain it. I'll explain it. I see a few hands. Back in the day, they didn't have wine bottles, so they made wine bags out of leather. And they would stitch together skins. and they will put the new wine in the bag. And as wine ferments, the gases are released and the leather is stretched to its capacity. And that's how they would ferment the wine. So what he was saying, if you take a bag that's already been stretched to its fullest, and then you try to put new wine in it and it begins to ferment, it can't stretch any further, so that bag's going to burst. So he's saying you have to take the new wine, the wine you just made, and you got to put it in new bags that have not been stretched. Some of you, your faith where you live and how you live has been stretched as far as it can go. Trying to get new revelation and put it in the crap you already got, even though that crap may have been good crap once upon a time, that's stretched as far as it's going. So now you're trying to take new revelation from God and you're trying to put it in what you already believe, and it's just going to burst open. Nothing. See, I tried to believe that it didn't work. Yeah, because you tried to take what God was giving you and make it work in your present faith and your present circumstance. Doesn't work that way. God has to clean you out. So wisdom is a growing process. That means as your feet grow, you still can't put on your baby shoes. You can't go to the store and buy the same size baby shoes. You got to change. It's a horrible thing when I see people squeezing sneakers on their feet because they don't want to admit their feet grew, and they squeezing shoes on and their feet are all squashed up in the shoes and they're walking like they're in the worst pain of their life. Admit your feet are bigger and throw the old shoes out. Give them away. Stop squeezing clothes on that you don't fit anymore. You put on weight. You know, I believe I'm going to get back into them. You've been believing that for 5 years. Sew the clothes and let them go. And then if you get back in them, God will bless you with some new ones. Don't try to hold on to the old clothes to get back into them. Just let them go by faith. Give them to somebody as a seed toward losing some weight. And then get some new ones when you lose the weight. Amen. I'm going to say amen for you if you don't say it, okay? Just let them go. I had to do that. I went to my closet. I had to just take a whole bunch of suits. Like, dude, you don't fit those anymore. Let them go. Now I got rid of all of them. I'm like, well, I could probably fit them again. All right, well, God blesses me, and I can get some new ones. It's all good. I'm going off the journey there a little bit, but I'm making a point. When God gives you new wisdom and revelation, you got to let go of what you had. You can't hold on to where you are and go where you're going. You got to let go. It's scary. Because you come to trust that. You come to find some dependency on that. Even if you hate it, you still found a foundation in that. And moving away from that requires you to let go of something now you consider your stability. But you got to lose what you have to get what God has called you to. And I'm not talking about in a way where you're starving and homeless. I'm not talking about that. The Lord talked about the man finding the pearl of great price. Well, none of this was part of the message, but it's all coming up, so I'm just going to speak on it. And he said he sold everything he had to buy that pearl because he knew the price of that pearl. Every time God gives me a new revelation, I know I'm challenged now to confront what I've already anchored myself onto. I know I've already now have to, and I'm just going to make a side journey. And please stop going to your old faithless friends and family members and asking them, so what do you think about what I got? They didn't get it. So they can't help you. They're going to try to steer you right back to where you already are. That's what they know. And the fact that you're trying to get out and they're still there, a lot of times, even unintentionally, their jealousy will try to pull you back. Crabs in the barrel. They'll try to pull you back in. Well-meaning people. No, I know that person loved me. Yeah, but they don't love you getting ahead of them. I mean, that they'll accept it eventually, but they don't love it. And they'll immediately try to say, no, this is where you belong. So Proverbs chapter 8 is where we're going today. I didn't plan to open up this long, but did it bless you? Did you learn something? Amen. Starting at verse 1, it says, reading from the King James, and I'm going to go back and forth between King James and the Amplified. Does not wisdom cry? And understanding put forth her voice. She standeth on the top of places and by the way in the places in the path, and she cries at the gates, at the entry of the city, and at the coming of the doors. Unto you, O men, I call. My voice is to the Son of Man. O ye simple, understand wisdom. O ye fools, be of an understanding heart. Hear, for I speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips of right things. For my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness, and there is nothing froward and perverse in them. They are all plain to him that understand, and right to them that find knowledge. Receive my instructions, my knowledge rather than gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired cannot be compared to it. To it, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and find out knowledge of witty inventions. So I'm stopping at verse 12. And I want to talk about what's happening right here. Wisdom is speaking as a person. Wisdom is saying, I'm calling to you. Understanding, I'm offering to you. And then it goes on to say, oh, you stupid people and you idiots. It says that, you fools and that's what it's saying, right? Listen to me, I'm calling you. So I want you to understand this now. Please get this. I'm going to the Amplified now. You don't have to go. And it reads a little bit different. It reads like this. Does not wisdom call and understanding lift up her voice? On the top of the heights beside the way, where the path meet, wisdom takes her stand. Besides the gate and at the entrance of the city, and at the entrance of the doors of the city, she cries out, to you, O men, I call, and my voice is directed to the sons of men. O you, naive and inexperienced, who are easily misled, understand prudence and seek astute common sense. O you closed-minded, self-confident fools, understand wisdom. Seek the insight and self-discipline that leads to godly living. Listen, for I will speak excellent and noble things, and the opening of my lips will reveal right things. For my mouth will utter truth, and wickedness is repulsive and loathsome to my lips. For all the words of my mouth are righteousness, upright, and in right standing, and in right standing with God. There is nothing contrary to truth, or perverse, or crooked in them. They are all straightforward to him who understands with an open and willing mind, and right to those who find knowledge and live by it. Take my instruction rather than seeking silver, and take knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all desirable things cannot be compared to her. I, godly wisdom, reside with the prudent, good judgment, moral courage, and astute common sense. Wisdom is not a thing. It's not a book understanding. It's obviously a spiritual position. It's being spoken of as a person. Wisdom is being spoken about as a person that stands in the street and yells out and calls out to you. Why do I go here and why do I make this point? Go back to what I said in the book of James. If any man lacks wisdom, it's not a thought process. Understanding is a thought process. Wisdom is a person. And that's the thing I want to get across today. Wisdom is a spiritual position. It's a person. I'll jump ahead of the message and we can come back to it later. But in the King James, New Testament says, Jesus Christ, the wisdom of God and the power of God. So Jesus is the person of wisdom. And the scripture says in Hebrews chapter 1, everything that was made through him, and not a thing that was made without him. So we understand now, me just jumping ahead of the message, that Jesus is the person of wisdom. So he's saying, in all you're getting, get wisdom, and that get understanding. But it refers to wisdom here as a she. I stand here in the streets and I call out to you. So that means if you lack wisdom in a situation, that's your failure, because wisdom's calling you in the street every day. Understanding is yelling out to you. I'm just so confused, Pastor. I don't know what to do. Well, then that means you haven't sought out the wisdom that's seeking out you, because it's there calling your name every day. So let's take a second. Let's take a little momentary pause and let's think about this. Right now, Think about something that you may feel a little bewildered in or undirected in. Think about something that you've been saying, I've been praying about this one for a long time, Pastor, or maybe just recently. Whew, this one right here, this is that one, man, when it comes to that. Whew. And then ask yourself, have you been calling out to the voice that's calling out to you? Or have you in your mind been looking for something that you feel is evading you and that you can't have? And now you begin to get an answer to your question. How are you asking? Are you asking in faith, nothing wavering? For he who wavers like the wave of the sea driven with the wind and the torrents, let not that person believe he will receive anything from the Lord. See, this is wisdom calling. I'm calling you. I'm telling you I'm available to you to give you everything I have. But how are you asking for me? In desperation, in fear, with a belief that I'm running from you and you got to look for me? Does your God go, guess which hand? No. Guess again? No. No. He's saying, I'm calling out to you. I'm dispensing wisdom to you. It's calling you in the street. So now how hard should it be for you to find it? What situation have you deemed more powerful than God's wisdom or more powerful than the Lord? What situation do you have in front of you? Because that thing I told you to think about, at some point you decided that thing is bigger than your God. Maybe not intentionally, but you did. Maybe life and fear and situations and people have convinced you, oh no, you know, Lord works in mysterious ways, you know. Maybe the Lord wants you to have that. That's something he wants you to learn from. Okay, let me just give you a solid answer to that once and for all, okay? Don't let anybody else ever say that stupidity to you again. Because if God wants you to learn from it, then you should seek wisdom, and wisdom will say to you, yes, I want you to learn from that. Not your church family members and not your halfway going to church members who only go on Mother's Day and Easter. No, I'm talking about you need to be have some word people that know the word, right? And they would be directing you, not giving you cliches. They would say, well, you know, why don't you ask God? And let God tell you what he want in your life at this season. And I guarantee you, if you ask him, he is not going to tell you, oh yeah, I want sickness and disease and cancer and lack and poverty in your life for this season because I'm teaching you something. Because if you be honest, everything you've learned from suffering is how to suffer and how to handle it or to live with it or to keep it. Nobody I know who's these suffering people ever learn how to get free from suffering. They just suffer and they're always going to learn something. And God's always going to teach them, and I meet them 20 years later, and they ain't learned nothing yet. Because suffering teaches you to suffer. And how can you, Jesus, I mean, I'm going to say this, I'm going to say it. How can you help your brother get the mote out of his eye when you have a beam in your own? How are you going to help somebody get a splint out of their hand and you got a whole log stuck up your arm? Listen. You can't help somebody in their poverty if you broke. The scripture says that in the book of James. If you say to somebody, be ye warmed and filled, but you don't give them what's necessary to eat, what good are you? The Bible clearly says that. How can you? Well, I'm just going to pray that God meet your needs. But you can't help them. What good are you? Well, you can't help them if you don't even know that God wants you helped. How can I guide you out of misery if I believe that God wants me in misery? How can I aim you toward healing if I believe God wants me sick? This is foolishness. This is foolishness. God said, wisdom is not something you have to chase. It chases you. As I started by saying, God wants you blessed more than you want to be blessed. God wants you to have more than you want to have. God wants to provide for you. Are you parents? Do you want that for your children? Of course you do. Are you a better parent than God? If you being a parent, if your child asks you for an egg, Jesus said, would you give him a rock? If he asks you for a fish, would you give him a serpent? If you being of evil nature, being evil men, will do good things for your children, he said, how much more will your father do for you being his children? You are not better parents than God. And God is not an abusive father, and he is not a neglectful father, and he is not a father who would turn you over to his enemy to see if you can get better. It's foolishness. But it's been so pumped into the church, that demon doctrine, that we think that when we ask God for something, we gotta beg for it. And God said, I didn't call you as beggars. I called you as children. Jesus said, I'm a servant of the Lord. Yeah, but you're taking that out of context. Because Jesus said, I no longer call you servants, but I call you friends. For the things that the Father make known unto me, I make known unto you. So Jesus doesn't want you to be a slave. But the scripture says your flesh should be taken captive as a slave, not you. You're not God's slave. You're God's child. He loves you the way a good parent will love a child, to the degree that I can never do it. I just read to you today the thank you that was sent to me, and that was one of them. I'm touched by it. And I'm going, God, he's saying that he learned how to love his kids because of the way I loved him. And he learned how loving you are because of me. Doesn't that sound to you like what God wants you to represent? You're impatient, irritated with people. And yeah, I feel all those things. People get on my nerves too. But I always go back to God, but what say you? What do you say about them? How do you feel about them? Do you love them? Do you forgive them? Then I forgive them. God loves you. I ended last week's message saying that. I'm going to go through all this message saying that. God loves you with an undying love. And so God is saying, I want you to have insight. I want you to have wisdom. I want you to know that I have wisdom calling out your name in the street. Any possible answer that you may need, I'm saying to you, it's here for you. How many of you say, I could use some answers right now? Let me see some hands. Like, no, there's some answers that I need right now. Okay, so before I go any further, let's pray according to what the book of James says for wisdom, insight, in faith, nothing wavering. So I'm going to pray, and you'll just pray along with me. Father God, we come to you according to your word and your promise. We see that wisdom stands in the street and calls out to us. Oh my God, what a beautiful thing. I've been chasing you and you've been right there all the time. I've been looking for you and you've been available for me every day. What a fool I've been, but no more. Your word says my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Well, I don't lack knowledge anymore. You want me to have wisdom. You want me to have insight. So I ask today for that wisdom. I ask today for that insight. And I thank you right now for it. I believe that you said I should ask in faith, and that wisdom is mine, and you will give it to me without finding fault in me, and you will give it to me liberally. So I thank you right now that I have the answers that I need, that I have the insight that I need, that I speak it before I see it, that I call those things that be not in my mind as though they are. And I say, by faith and by my trust in you, I believe that all of the insight I need is available to me right now. Wisdom, avail yourself to me. Knowledge, become clear to me. I accept it as mine. From this day forward, I have the mind of Christ and the wisdom of God flowing through me without limit. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen, that's a good place to pick up. I almost want to shut down and go amen, but I'm going to go a little bit more, but I want you to understand that that's a gift that belongs to you. The wisdom of God is your gift. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to work for it. You have to be perfect in all your ways to get it. He was perfect in all of his ways, and he dispensed it to me. It's mine. Now, one of the things that really spoke to me when I started reading this, Let's go to verse 14. This is still wisdom speaking. And wisdom is saying, counsel is mine, and sound wisdom, I am understanding, power and strength are mine. I want you to get this now. Saying by seeking and claiming this wisdom that we just claimed, did you claim it? Did you claim it? So wisdom is saying, now that you've claimed me, counsel is mine. So you don't have to seek counsel now, because wisdom has that. Understanding and sound wisdom is mine. Power and strength is mine. So even the God, give me the strength to do it. In seeking wisdom, wisdom said, I have all of that. If you get me, I have all of that. Did you catch that? You see how we spread ourselves around praying for a whole bunch of things, just a bunch of scattered prayers, hoping that one of them work. And God is making it simple. Just seek wisdom. All of that will come. So if you feel like you don't have strength, it's covered. By me, kings reign. You know why you're not a king? You haven't accepted wisdom. And rulers decide and decree justice. By me, princes rule and nobles, all who judge and govern rightly. I love those who love me. This is wisdom still speaking. And those who seek me early and diligently will find me. This is wisdom still speaking. Are you listening to me? Are you listening to me? Next verse. Riches and honor are with me, enduring wealth and righteousness, right standing with God. Hold up. So now wisdom just said your money issues are covered. Strength is covered. Inside is covered. Wealth is covered. Righteousness is covered. Honor is covered. In seeking wisdom. Are you seeing the power of this? That's why when God gave me that word a couple of months ago, whenever you pray, I want you to start your prayer and end it with, God, I thank you for wisdom, insight, peace, and prosperity. And then I say my prayer, and then I'll end it with, and I thank you to have wisdom, insight, peace, and prosperity in abundance. Your guy's been calling it Whipper. I love it. Sometimes I just say, Lord, I thank you for Whipper. This is the word. I'm not making it up. It's right there. I love those who love me, verse 17. And those who seek me early find me, right? And diligently will find me. Well, I didn't seek early. Well, start seeking early right now. And let this be your early, so going forward, you'll be good. Yeah, there's a lot of things I wish I had known when I was a kid. I've said, man, I wish I knew that when I was younger. And God says to me, but you know it now. What you gonna do with it? So I'm talking about what you wish you had done younger, what you're going to do now. And realistically speaking, if you want to be honest about it, people in the Bible lived to 400 or 500 years. So I'm still young. So let's not make excuses. Riches and honor are with me, wisdom still speaking. Enduring wealth, not you got some wealth and you lost it. It hangs around. And right standing with God. My fruit is better than gold. Even pure gold, and my yield is better than the choicest silver. I, wisdom, continually walk in the way of righteousness. So you won't have to worry about that. In the midst of the paths of justice, that I may cause those who love me to inherit wealth and true riches. And there it is again. So for those people who try to tell you, you shouldn't be believing for wealth and riches, God didn't know that. No, it's better just to have enough to get by as long as you got Jesus. Well, God didn't know that. So maybe they need to write God and tell him that he made a mistake here because he keeps throwing up this wealth and riches stuff. This ain't me. And I'm not even trying to push the wealth and riches stuff because honestly speaking, my life is real good. So I don't care who receives or don't receive that. That's not an issue for me. But my issue is there it is again. There it is again. He is saying to you, this is what I want for you. Here's the thing that struck me very interesting about this verse. Verse 19 said, my fruit is better than gold and even pure gold. and my yield is better than choice silver. Then he says, but if you seek me, wealth and riches are there. So people will argue, that's spiritual riches. No. It is, but that's, no. It's not just that. Here's what he's saying to you. Lay up not for yourself treasures on earth, where thieves break through and steal and moth corrupts, but lay up for yourself a treasure in heaven. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, all his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. He said, I don't have a problem with you having things. I have a problem with you seeking things. Seek me. Seek wisdom and let wisdom provide. Don't seek provision. Seek wisdom and let wisdom provide. So it's a balancing game. I've given you those things. If you think I'm wrong, Deuteronomy 8, he says, and when your houses increase and I bless you with land and you have gold and silver everywhere, don't forget that it's God that gave you the power to get wealth that he may establish his covenant among you. Deuteronomy 8:18. So he's saying, no, I give you those things, but I want you not to seek those things. I don't ever want you to begin to build a golden calf with those things and say, this is what it is. This is about what I got now. I'm blessed because I have things, not I have things because I'm blessed. So I don't seek things. And I've said this before, and I'll say it again, I never pray about money, ever. Those of you who know me, how many of you know I'm telling the truth? I never pray about money, ever. I tell you what God told me. I told you what he said he's going to do. I tell you what I'm believing for, and I just wait. And I just wait. And I watch what God does. And he always does it because he's not tied to earthly resources. So he's saying, seek wisdom and these things will come to you. If you think I'm wrong, go into the book of Kings. Solomon prayed, God, I'm not praying for wealth. I'm not praying for riches. I'm praying for the wisdom to lead your people. And Bible says, and as a result of that, God made him the richest man that ever lived. So you see, are you seeing the balance? So that means don't pray for wisdom to get wealth even. Don't do that. You're still off track. Well, I'm going to pray for wisdom so I could be wealthy. So you're still seeking wealth then. Seek his wisdom and all that it entails. And he said, and I'll take care of everything else you got on your plate. I got you. Just stay in my face. Seek my face and not my hand. Don't always go to God because you need something. I don't care if it's physical, financial, emotional, whatever it is. Go to God and say, God, can I just sit in your presence? Can I just feel your wisdom? Can I just walk with you? If you can do that, you're going to be just fine. So I'm going to wrap up, coming to the end. 19 again. My fruit is better than gold, even pure gold. And my yield is better than choice silver. I, wisdom, continually walk in the way of righteousness, in the midst of the paths of justice, that I may cause those who love me to inherit wealth and true riches. And that I may fill their treasuries. Listen, you can't make this stuff up. It's all right there. I'm reading it to you. I think you see it. It's all right there. The Lord created and possessed me in the beginning of his way, before his works of old were accomplished. I'm going to read that again. Nice and slow. The Lord created and possessed me at the beginning of his way, before his works of old were accomplished. The Lord created wisdom before anything else was created. So now you understand why it says in the book of Hebrews that nothing was created without it. He was there from the beginning, and nothing was created, and nothing that is created was created without him. Wisdom was there from the beginning before anything. So when God said, let there be light, that was spoken with wisdom. That was spoken by wisdom. You have Christ living in you. That means the wisdom that created the universe lives in you. Are you hearing me today? The wisdom that created the universe lives in you. Say that. The wisdom that created the universe lives in me. So stop seeking wisdom as is on the outside of you, and you got to chase it. When you got born again, his Holy Spirit came in you and you became filled with his wisdom. That's his gift to you. Never, ever forsake that. The Lord created and possessed me at the beginning of his way, before his works of old were accomplished. From everything I was established and ordained from the beginning, before the earth existed, I, godly wisdom, existed. When there were no oceans and no depth, I was born. When there were no fountains and springs overflowing with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills, I was born. Let me wrap this up with this. My God shall provide all your needs according to his what? You don't know the verse, look it up. I'll give you homework. My God shall supply all my needs. Your God shall supply all your needs according to his what? And that's going to be a homework for you. So some of y'all hear you're saying it, but I see your lips saying it. But I want you to look that up. Just look up the scripture, my God. You can do it right now if you want. My God shall supply all your needs. And it says according to what? I want you to understand that wisdom is yours. It is yours. Dr. Angie, you can unmute yourself and tell them what the rest of it says. I see some of them looking it up already.
My God supplies all my riches and needs in Christ and the glory of Jesus.
All in the wisdom that was created before the foundation of the earth. He supplies all your needs. So when he talks about this stuff, it's not old. It's not even Old Testament. God is the same yesterday and today and forever. God's care for you has not diminished slightly. Matter of fact, he said we have a better covenant than that of Abraham. I want you to seek Daddy out. I want you to understand that wisdom is the best way to seek him out. Pray for his wisdom. Claim understanding. Confess that it's yours. And watch what God does. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for this opportunity to share your word with your people again. I thank you, Lord God, that they're better and better every day. You're making them better. You're making us better. And I thank you for it. Bless us. Continue to lead us in the path of righteousness for your name's sake. And continue to grow us as we seek you out. We know your truth. And your word said, we know the truth and the truth will make us free. So we claim that we know your truth and we know wisdom. We lack nothing in you. We thank you, Lord God, for the victory that belongs to us in you. Never again will we seek your wisdom as if it's something to be chased, but it's there in the streets calling our names, and we respond by saying, yes, here we are. In Jesus' name. And the people of God said, amen, amen. So whoever takes over, God bless.